From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wonder Gadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wonder Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nitz Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Well, you'd never know it if you looked out your window throughout much of the country here this morning, but the 145th Run for the Roses continues to edge ever closer. Now just 105 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and 34 seconds away from the first Saturday in May. And would you believe that it's now been 10 years since Mind That Bird pulled off one of the most improbable upsets in Kentucky Derby history? Where did that time go? Has it really been a full decade since that 50-1 upset beneath the Twin Spires? Yeah, incredible. It has. Welcome to the Equine Forum. It's all presented by Red Brand Fence here in the month of January. And it's all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back together again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And happy to have you with us for the next couple of hours as we talk a little Kentucky Derby, we talk a little Pegasus World Cup, and we'll preview some stallions. We'll do an awful lot over the course of the next 2 hours. JT, 10 years ago, 2009 was the year that Mind That Bird came up the rail under Calvin Burrell and got the victory at 50-1. Hard to believe it's been 10 years.
Well, they made a movie about him, so that usually takes 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, right.
So it's
right.
Not as hard for me to believe because Jim Wilson, the producer of 50-1, the movie, is a relative and a friend, and I know it's been a while, but it doesn't really seem that long ago. But
no.
When I think back to the Breeders' Cup, when we had the cast and crew of 50-1 in our booth for Breeders' Cup, it does seem like it's been a while. A lot of Breeders' Cups since then.
Yeah, that means it's also been 10 years since the great Rachel Alexandra too, right? Because that was the same year. Remember, right. Mind That Bird, Rachel in the Preakness. And you know, think about it. Mind That Bird is known, of course, for that upset in the Kentucky Derby, and rightfully so. But think about what this horse did on the racetrack. He wins the Kentucky Derby. He comes back. He's what did he do? He won the Kentucky Derby. Comes back. He's second in the Preakness. He's third in the Belmont Stakes. So he's first, second, or third in all three Triple Crown races. He was a really good racehorse.
Well, he really was. His Derby was very memorable to me. You seldom see a horse put in a 5/8 mile run in the Kentucky Derby. And he did it just seemed like effortlessly. It was so impressive. When you watch the isolated shot of him, you can't even believe what you're seeing. It was fantastic.
We're going to visit with his trainer, Chip Woolley, coming up in just about 10 minutes or so. Look back on that memorable run through the 2009 Triple Crown and that improbable upset at Churchill Downs in the Run for the Roses. Chip will join us, and looking forward to that visit as we spend a little time looking back on one of the great derbies that we've seen in recent years. And I say that because it's one of the more memorable Kentucky Derbies. And that kind of leads me to our poll question this morning. You can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. But the poll question, quite simple. What is your most memorable Kentucky Derby? Or what is the most memorable Kentucky Derby to you? However we phrase that. But for me, I have a couple. I have 1998, Real Quiet winning. And not because of Real Quiet necessarily, because my wife and I attended the Kentucky Derby for the first time after moving to Kentucky from Massachusetts. We got engaged at that Kentucky Derby. So that one's always going to stand out to me. And Animal Kingdom in 2011 is another one that stands out. It was our first ever time that we had the national rights to broadcast the Kentucky Derby here on the network. So our first national derby broadcast. So that's the other one that sticks out to me. How about for you?
Well, I got to say my first derby, Fusaichi Pegasus. It was a great day. It was a beautiful day. Spent most of the afternoon in the paddock looking at the horses, and I had the trifecta in the derby.
That always helps.
That doesn't hurt.
You'll remember that.
but no, it was a great day. I was with my girlfriend. We were having a good time, and the race was exciting, and just to be there was fun. It wasn't my first trip to Churchill Downs, but it was my first derby, and that's always gonna stick out. That race, 50-1's race, because of the way he ran it, I always remember that. That was a fantastic run that he put in. I gotta say Orb was another one that was impressive, and it was Shug, and I knew it meant so much to him, and being a Kentucky boy and wanting to win that race. I'm sure if I'm there when Dale Romans wins the Kentucky Derby for the first time, I'll have that same kind of feeling, because I think it's so important, when you're a local, to have that race in your mind your whole life, that you want to win that race and to win it. I think it's really cool.
Well, we want to hear from you across HRN Nation. Let us know your most memorable Kentucky Derby for whatever reason. Like I say, my first one, 98, getting engaged to my now wife, Michelle, that was special to me. It can be for a personal reason like that. It can be just because of the performance that the horse put in. It could be because a friend of yours trained the horse. Whatever it is, what is your most memorable Kentucky Derby? And do that at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The road to the Derby today winds through the fairgrounds in New Orleans, the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes, the first in a series of Derby preps in the Bayou. 15 three-year-olds entered, and it's a wide-open betting race, JT.
Yeah, it's a very good race, and we'll see what track conditions we end up with today. But, it's a really nice way to kick it off. It's very, very intriguing. There's lots of contenders and some interesting horses that are going to be decent prices. And while we're on the subject, I got to remember Nyquist, too.
For the Kentucky Derby.
For the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. That was great. And being able to...
That was special, yeah.
Spend the time with Doug right after the race, sit in the box with the owners. And
so cool.
That was like, that was like winning it myself. I mean, it was just a really surreal experience. I mean, that might be the most memorable one of all.
Yeah. We're going to visit with the man who will saddle the favorite in the LeCompte today. That is Brendan Walsh. And I say the lukewarm favorite, 9-2 on the morning line, plus K Parfait, who will break from post position number 12. And we'll get a chance to visit with Brendan coming up in just a little bit. He'll join us toward, about the middle of the second hour, right around 9:20 Eastern time. Next weekend, we'll be at Gulfstream Park to bring you exclusive coverage of the Pegasus World Cup and the Pegasus World Cup Turf. The coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern. It's all presented by Red Brand Fence and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93, again, 4 o'clock Eastern next Saturday. And, of course, you can always stream us worldwide, horseracingradio.net. We'll be live from Gulfstream Park. Cool Can, who became the 8th Mexican Triple Crown winner last year, won the Clásico del Caribe in December at Gulfstream, is going to take on a top-notch field, including Breeders' Cup Classic winner Accelerate and so many other really good horses pointing for that race. But Cool Can, an interesting story. We're going to catch up with his trainer, Fausto Gutierrez, 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning, and looking forward to that visit. This is such a unique story. We don't see this very often here in the States.
Well, he's a really cool horse, and it was so nice to see him win, continue his streak. They put a lot on the line coming here to run in the Clásico del Caribe, and He came through with flying colors. He's very impressive.
He'll have to improve. He's going to have to run the race of his life. He's going to have to run a lot quicker than he did in the Clásico del Caribe if he wants to compete in the Pegasus World Cup. But I think, you know, they know that going in. But it adds a lot of intrigue to the race. And I'll give you an example. When he won the Clásico del Caribe on December 8th at Gulfstream, his final running time for the mile and an eighth, 154.80. Accelerate, by the same token, winning the Awesome Again Stakes before he won the Breeders' Cup Classic, 150.38. So Kukulcan has to up his game if he wants to compete.
Yeah, I guess if you're going
by about 4 seconds.
By raw time, yes, he's going to have to.
What do they say? That equivalents to about 20 lengths. Is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah. So let's hope he does better than that.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Fausto Gutierrez, his trainer, coming up at 9 Eastern. Again, Brendan Walsh, 9:20 Eastern. Toward the end of the program, we'll visit with Frank Hoff Jr., Frank Hoff, who is the senior director of racing operations at Sam Houston. They kick off their meet coming up next weekend, so we'll get a chance to talk to Frank, 9:40 Eastern time. And then kind of sandwiched in between all this, our Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence. That comes your way at 8:45 Eastern. We'll talk to Elliot Walden from Windstar as we preview the Windstar Stallions for the 2019 breeding season. All right, we'll get to our first break. We'll come back and look back on that upset in the Kentucky Derby in 2009. We'll do it with trainer Chip Woolley. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
FDB stands for Flashy Debut Breakthrough.
Free Drop Billy is on the move, needs to find a seam, and splits horses decisively. Free Drop Billy, who wins it by 2.5 in the end.
FDB stands for Fast Dirt Brilliance.
Into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by 3. Bravazo in second, but no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it.
Free Drop Billy, Union Rags' only grade 1 winner at stud. New for 2019 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As the field turns for home, top of the stretch, it's still joined to the dance with a tenuous lead. Regal Ransom and Pioneer of the Nile strikes the front just outside the eighth pole. Musket Man is coming hard down the center of the track, and Papa Clem's right there, too. Down toward the inside, coming on through. That is my net bird now is coming on to take the lead as they come down to the finish. And a spectacular, spectacular upset. My net bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
Tom Durkin with a call of that 2009 upset in the Run for the Roses. Mine That Bird bursting through along the inside under Calvin Burrell to get the victory. And what a day it was for Calvin. What a day it was for Mine That Bird's trainer, Chip Woolley, who brought the horse all the way from New Mexico on a van. I remember catching up with him on one of our Derby Countdown programs throughout Derby Week. We stood there at our tent on the backside, and we talked about his journey and what he was hoping for in the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if even he could have imagined that result, but what a ride it was and what a ride it's been over the past decade for Chip Woolley, who joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Chip, welcome to the program. How's that for a little trip down memory lane?
Well, that's always fun to listen to that call for sure.
I don't think it was Tom Durkin's favorite day.
I don't think so. I think that little gap there when he was trying to figure out who it was, that was pretty funny to look back on.
Yeah, and who on earth could have expected it would be Mine That Bird? I know you did. You were actually very confident going into that Kentucky Derby.
I honestly wasn't confident about winning, but I thought I could sure run third. You know, I didn't think I could beat Pioneer of the Nile, really. But I thought I could sure light the board, you know.
Had you ever seen that 5/8 mile run that he put in before? Had he ever done anything like that before?
No, you know, I actually, he really mainly was about a 3/8 mile run, really, you know. But that's what I was looking for after I bought the horse. I mean, that was what I thought would be the key to making him a good horse, or a better horse, let me put it that way, not a good horse, but a better horse, was to wait and just make a move. And we had worked him that way here. We'd put him with a couple other horses and put one like 20 in front of him, one like 10 in front of him, and let him work two of those horses from the 3/8, you know. And I worked him with two really nice stakes fillies, and he beat them like an afternoon off, you know. I mean, so I knew he had that in him if we could just get the proper trip to get that kind of a run from him. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be good enough to win a Derby, but I believed it would make him that much better.
Chip, what do you remember about the moment that he crossed the finish line?
Shock, really. I mean, for just a moment, I remember we were all screaming and celebrating in our box, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like a ton of bricks falling on you. You know, you couldn't believe you'd accomplished something like that, you know.
And you were on crutches, right, if I remember?
Yes, sir, I was on crutches, and I remember I even took off out of my box hopping on one leg without my crutches, you know, before all of it kind of come crashing down on me. And then all of a sudden you realize what you've done, you know, and it's just too big for belief, you know. So it was kind of, looking back on it, it's kind of funny to think about, but at the time there wasn't it. If just for an instant you had some celebration, and then it was just like, oh my God, you know, what do we do now? And it's kind of funny to look back, because it's like the whole world come crashing down on you for a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely an overwhelming feeling. I've never been part of a Kentucky Derby win as an owner, trainer, whatever, but I've been in the winner's circle a few times with people that I've interviewed and whatever, and it's a surreal experience. I mean, people do weird things, you know. Terry Finley, a couple guys picked him up and they were going to body slam him into the mud.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, no, don't do that. You know, I mean, I was with Doug O'Neill with Nyquist. I got to watch that race from the box, and that was exciting. And the like you mentioned, everybody going crazy and whatever, and then interviewing Doug, who had worked for me, his first job on the racetrack, and interviewing him going down to the winner's circle was just a surreal experience for me. And he'd done it before, so it wasn't I don't want to say he was used to it, but he knew what to expect. But
I think you're right there. It's if you could go back and do it again, I think you could enjoy it a lot more. Like, because you would know what's coming, you know.
Yeah.
When it happens to somebody like me from a regional area like this, it you know, you just don't know what to think after it happens, you know. And I think if you could go back, you could sure enjoy the moment a lot more.
Do you think that's why it's so addictive? Like, everybody says, oh, I want to do it again, you know? Is that why?
Certainly. To do it on that stage, I mean, you know, there's no other stage in horse racing like that stage. And I mean, you know, Breeders' Cup, they might, I don't know how many people they get there, but, I, you know, generally, like at Santa Anita, say there's 45,000 people or so. I mean, to do it on that stage at Churchill and with all the history behind it, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's the ultimate if you're a true horse racing person, you know?
Chip, you've always been very humble when you've joined us before the Derby, after the Derby, and I know you always gave credit to the horse, and rightfully so, but let's not gloss over the training job that you did getting this horse ready to run that kind of race on the first Saturday in May. Talk about the weeks leading up to the Derby and what you had to do to get him ready, considering the fact that you were a bit hobbled yourself.
Well, you know, the main thing I did was just try not to change anything we'd been doing other than the trip he was going to get in the Derby, you know. And I honestly can't take a lot of credit for it. He was just a really good horse, and we had him dead fit. And, you know, he was really on his game. And, I mean, you know, you saw 2 weeks later in the Preakness, he showed up again, just happened to run into a super horse that he couldn't beat, you know. Really, I just can't say that much. I mean, you know, every trainer out there does the best they can do to have one ready on a given day. And luckily for the Derby, you know exactly when it's going to be, you know, so you can count backwards from Derby. You know, I moved him 2 weeks early, so I had plenty of time to prep him and get a couple of works over Churchill's track and recover from a trip. You know, that's no easy trip on the horse. And so everything I did, I planned starting about a month out to make sure that, you know, we were dead prepped for Derby that day, you know. And otherwise, you know, it's truly a great performance by a really nice horse.
It seems like you never second-guessed yourself along the trail, and that happens to a lot of trainers. They worry about it so much that they get in the horse's way, and at the very least, you stayed out of his way and just kept him healthy and happy.
Yeah, probably the only thing I would change if I was to do it again is I wouldn't have worked him between the Derby and the Preakness. I would have let him go in there a little bit fresher, but don't think I didn't second guess myself. It just didn't show up.
Well, maybe that helped him when he went to the Belmont. Maybe it made him just a little bit fitter for the Belmont.
Maybe, you know, but we did plenty of second guessing, but I just tried mainly what you're saying, just to stay out of his way and make him feel good and happy, you know, but I think if I could change one thing, I probably wouldn't have worked him prior to the Preakness and then just went in there a little bit fresher. And, you know, until you've been through the Triple Crown, no trainer can understand how grueling it is on a horse to get through the Triple Crown. And with all the travel and the moving, the new racetracks and the distances, everything combined, if you look back, you think, you know, could have maybe trained just a hair less. Would have helped the horse, you know, and he wasn't a real big horse, and so it took a lot out of him to get through it, you know, and I don't know, he just runs huge, so not too many excuses.
visiting with trainer Chip Woolley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, trainer of 2009 Kentucky Derby winner, Mind That Bird. Chip, you know, in other sports like golf, for example, you win the Masters, you are always known as a Masters champion. If you win the Super Bowl, you're always known as a Super Bowl champion. Same thing with the World Series in baseball. You will forever be known as a Kentucky Derby winning trainer. You've had a decade to kind of go through your life as a Derby winning trainer. What's that been like for Chip Woolley?
Well, for the most part, it's back to normal. But yeah, you know, every day in the races, you'll run into a new fan that you've never met, you know, that goes back to that Derby, you know, and that's fun. And you enjoy it, and you try to represent the sport the best you can at all times, you know. But to be in a club with some of the greatest trainers ever to live, it's kind of special.
What's it like to be featured in a movie?
Well, I got to be honest, I never was too caught up in the movie thing. You know, I felt like it took 30 years for greatest horse in history to get a movie, so I thought ours was a little too quick. But
that's a great line. Wow.
Great take.
But, you know, it's fun. It was a real good fun movie, you know, to watch and to have a few laughs. But I just never really got caught up that much, you know, in all of that.
What's Mind That Bird doing now?
He lives on his owner's farm over here in Roswell, New Mexico, mainly a big lawnmower. They take him and do a few. We take him and do a few fundraisers and things around. They took him to Colorado Springs for the Air Force game and did a fundraiser for the Wounded Warriors. You know, we take him a few places, do things like that, and then mainly he mows grass. But he's got a good life, and he'll be well cared for the rest of his life. You know,
that's great. You know, we've had a lot of Kentucky Derby winning trainers on this show, and that. They always talk about, you know, people say, oh, did you win the Derby? And you can finally say, yes, I did. And how many times have people asked you that roughly, you know, oh, did you ever win the Kentucky Derby? And you get to tell them yes. How many times does that happen?
It happens more than you think. And kind of luckily for me, between how shocking it was to the world, you know, mine, a lot of people still remember it, of course, but you get on a plane and somebody might ask you, what do you do for a living? Well, I train horses. Oh, really? You ever been to the Kentucky Derby? Well, yeah, I win one. and they're like, really? And they, I mean, half of them act like they don't believe it first, you know. It's just, you know, it's something really special. You know, when after the, or during the Breeders' Cup the year I won the Derby, I spent quite a bit of time with Baffert, and we got to be pretty good friends, and I was at his house one night, and of course he'd win every major race in the country pretty much by then, he took me and showed me his trophy case, and we're looking through there, and the swords from Dubai, you name it, I mean, he'd win everything known to man, all them Breeders' Cup trophies. And of course he ran second to Mind That Bird with Pioneer of the Nile. And he told me, he said, you see all those ones right there. He said, I'd trade all of them for that one you got this year.
Wow.
And that was, I think, the first time I realized what you had really accomplished.
Yeah. That's a great, great story. And boy, talk about putting it in perspective, huh? A guy like Bob Baffert says something like that to you. That's incredible, Chip.
You know, exactly. Coming from him, you know, that really, really put it in the light of what you had accomplished and what your horse had done, you know.
Well, Chip, it was a memorable day. It's one that we're never going to forget. I know you will never forget it, and really appreciate you spending some time with us here this morning, getting up early out there in New Mexico to be with us. appreciate the visit here, and look forward to hopefully seeing you at this year's Kentucky Derby when you make it back as a Derby champion.
Sounds good.
All right, Chip Woolley here.
All right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. Chip Woolley on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Great stuff from Chip Woolley.
Yeah.
Such a cool guy.
Fantastic. Yeah, he's a very nice man, and you know, I like the fact that he's down to earth, not impressed with himself, and
yep,
and gives the horse all the credit. That was a great Derby. It really was. And a lot of people, you know, say, "Oh, how could that be a great Derby? The horse, you know, paid a pot full. Nobody was expecting him to win. I mean, he put the Gray Stakes on the map."
Yeah, yeah, right.
Now everybody wants to know who won the Gray Stakes.
Yep.
I mean, it was a fantastic race. I mean, that horse just ran unbelievably good that day, and he deserves everything. And the fact, as you mentioned, that he backed it up with the Preakness and the Belmont in the money finishes, goes to show what a good horse he was.
Yeah, now he gets to spend the rest of his days as a big lawnmower out on the farm, as Chip Woolley put it, talking about his Derby winner, Mind That Bird. All right, it's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We will come back and get you ready for our Stallion Spotlight segment with Elliot Walden from Windstar. That's all next after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
It wasn't planned that way, but it turned out to be a promoter's dream. The event was the Trenton Handicap at Garden State in New Jersey in November of 1957. The question before the race might well have been, who will wear the crown? After all, the Miss America contest was held in the same state, and in this race, the three outstanding colts in America at the time, Round Table, Bull Ruler, and Gallant Man, were ready to answer the call to post for the mile and a quarter test. Two of the horses were locked in the struggle for not only the two-year-old crown, but Horse of the Year as well, Round Table and Gallant Man. The third member of that troika, although very good, considered a tag-along, was Bold Ruler. The cast of characters for the drama about to unfold bears closer verbal scrutiny. Round Table was a small, very powerful son of Prince Quillo out of Knight's Daughter by Sir Cosmo. He'd done everything asked of him and more. And against all comers, those with speed, those with distance durability, and those that were older. He'd won 11 in a row on any kind of racing surface all over the country. He was a slashing speedster, especially at middle distances. He set a track record of 158-3 in the mile and a quarter Hollywood Gold Cup, and was the only three-year-old ever to win it. He'd equaled the track record at Hawthorne for the same distance in winning that Gold Cup, and set a new mark at Keeneland for 1 1/8 miles. Owned by Travis Kerr, trained by Willie Moulter, the only chink in his armor was not a particular fondness for an off-track, and the track at Garden State on this day was rated as good. Gallant Man was a small, sturdy son of Majoli out of Majida by Mahmood, obviously English inbreeding and quite formidable at that. Very versatile, superb stamina, acknowledged as the best in the East. It equaled Tropical's 6-furlong record with a blistering 109-2, smashed the American 1 1/2-mile record at Belmont, and the 9-furlong track mark at Belmont as well. He'd won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at 2 miles, lost a heartbreaker in the Derby through a rider error, that was the infamous Shoemaker misjudgment of the finish line, and he had swapped wins with Dedicated, the Nassau County, and the Woodward. Both of the latter were weight for age. Owned by Ralph Lowe, trained by the highly capable Johnny Nayrud, the possible chink in his armor was also an apparent less than zestful liking for an off-track. Bold Ruler was considered the uninvited guest, as it were, akin to Sheridan Whiteside in The Most Entertaining Man Who Came to Dinner, a role quite remarkably well played by Monty Woolley, by the way. Bold Ruler was the sometimes erratic son of Nasrullah out of Miss Disco by Discovery. He had proven he could carry a lot of weight, having done so in winning the Bahamas, Flamingo, Wood Memorial, a race in which, by the way, he defeated Gallant Man in track record time, the Preakness, the Jerome, the Vosburgh, and the Queens County. He appeared to have lost his edge through the summer, encountering difficulty going over a mile and an eighth. Very speedy out of the gate indeed he was, owned by Mrs. Henry Carnegie Phipps and trained by the legendary Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. Possible flaw? He had not done well at all in previous attempts at 10 furlongs and had been demolished by Gallant Man at 12 furlongs. Bold Ruler in this race, as expectedly, broke very quickly with Heady Eddie Arquero in the saddle and went on out to set the early fractions. Roundtable swerved and broke in a tangle. Gallant Man away in good order. Into the clubhouse turn, Bold Ruler opened a 3.5-length lead, but that too had been expected with Roundtable second, 3 lengths in front of Gallant Man. Bold Ruler cut the first stop in 47 and run, running freely and pulling off to an open 5-length lead. At the far turn, Bold Ruler had not let up one single bit, and he had an 8-length lead. The very astute Arquero now began to look back for the expected challenges. Gallant Man made a bit of a run around the turn to come abreast of Round Table, and those two matched strides while slowly closing in on Bold Ruler. Round Table was the first to give up the chase, but Gallant Man close to within 2 lengths of Bold Ruler, but they were in mid-stretch by that time, and Arquero still had some horse left. He hand-rode Bold Ruler to the wire to a 2-length win. It had been Bold Ruler's day. Not the way the experts figured it, but races often turn out that way. For example, the 1930 Travers, when the question had been Gallant Fox or which one or Gallant Fox? Well, it turned out to be neither. It was Jim Dandy then at 100-1, and it had been Bold Ruler on this particular day. A solid victory for not the man who came to dinner, but the horse who came to race in November of 1957 in the Trenton Handicap, and he did indeed leave wearing a crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
All right, we got a brand new wheats up here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two grain bread? Let me get a taker for 2 grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three grain sub bread? Three is not enough. How about four grain? Who wouldn't want 4 grains? Jimmy John's, still a no. Let's go 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. Want to make it rain? 8 grain, Jimmy John's, still a no. All right, what about nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new 9 grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new 9 grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak yeah.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man, a precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Farage Farage, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war, will take charge of final man. Mucho Macho Man!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Fortin Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
La recta final de Gold Trip Pares, el clásico del Caribe 2018. Cupulcán con Irán Ortiz despega con 5, con 6 cuerpos y no puede perder. Les va a ganar galopando el número 3, Cupulcán, el de México, con el astro. Irán Ortiz se lleva la victoria. Les metió la recta Cupulcán. Segundo, el Yebukowski. Tercero, Kandiki. Cuarto, Darío Ruz. ¡Qué clase de demostración de este campeón!
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. How's that for authentic? Kukulcan, the Mexican Triple Crown winner, undefeated romping in the Clásico del Caribe back in early December at Gulfstream Park. We will see him in action taking on the best that we have to offer here in the United States, including Accelerate, the Breeders' Cup Classic winner. We'll see all that happening next week. Gulfstream Park will be there to bring you exclusive radio coverage here on the network. If you're just tuning in, that coverage comes your way beginning 4 o'clock Eastern, live from Gulfstream Park next Saturday. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93 or stream us worldwide, anywhere you might be. Bluetooth us in your car, whatever it might be, at horseracingradio.net. We're going to visit with Kukulcan's trainer, Fausto Gutierrez, coming up 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning, and looking forward to that visit. Such a cool story. We touched on it at the top of the show, Jude, but the horse is going to be a massive long shot. He's going to have to improve by leaps and bounds if he wants to make an impact against the likes of Accelerate and Audible and the top horses from America that are going to go in there. But he adds a lot of intrigue to this year's Pegasus World Cup.
Yeah, well, he's a cool horse, and he was impressive winning the other day at Gulfstream, and I'd like to see him run well. Frankie Dettori's going to ride him. That's unusual
cool.
Twist.
Yeah, that's neat. He's one of just 8 Mexican Triple Crown winners. Did you know that?
Yeah, you mentioned it at the top of the show.
Yeah,
and I had read that someplace as well, so. I guess there are a few behind us in Triple Crown winners.
But you know what's interesting? They parallel us over the past several years. In 2015, they had a Mexican Triple Crown winner. And then in 2018, of course, Kukulcan pulls it off. So that parallels what we've seen here in the United States, which is somewhat interesting.
Yeah. It's weird how it goes kind of cyclical sometimes. But I don't know if that's random intergalactic forces.
It's all fixed. Come on. They knew it was going to be a triple. I mean, the whole thing's been fixed from the start. The Mexico and the American Triple Crowns, they you know, how else do you explain that one?
I don't try to explain it. I certainly wouldn't say it was fixed.
Yeah, I'm kidding, of course. But so we'll visit with Fausto, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Brendan Walsh will be with us at 9:20 Eastern as we look at the LeCompte Stakes at the Fairgrounds, the first in a series of Derby prep races contested in the Bayou over the next couple of months. And he will send out Pluque Parfait. Did I get it right that time?
You did.
Top of the show, I think I went with Plus K Parfait. It shows you my knowledge of the French language, right? Julien Leperoux is just like cringing right now if he's listening to this program.
He's not. He's asleep.
No, he's up early. Julien? Are you kidding me? That guy's probably out working horses somewhere. Flo's the same way. Florent,
yeah,
they work very hard.
Okay,
so they're no doubt they're tuned. They probably have us streaming right now as they're galloping horses with like a little headset Bluetooth in it.
Wow, you had some wild dreams last night.
Pluque Parfait, and you gave the definition of that off air. Actually, the Pluque Parfait indicates that an action had taken place and had been completed before another action took place.
Right.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, cool. So that's what that means, just so you're up to date on that.
Like Justify won the Kentucky Derby before he won the Preakness.
There you go. And I said the name wrong before I said it right.
Yes.
Right? Same thing, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. We're going to get to another break.
Fascinating, isn't it?
We can't wait to get to this next break because on the other side of this, we're going to visit with our good friend Elliot Walden from Windstar as he previews the Windstar Stallions in our Stallion Spotlight segment. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at three, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Come on out to Santa Anita for a big three-day weekend this Saturday, Sunday, and Martin Luther King Day, Monday. On Saturday, top sprinters go 6 furlongs in the Grade 2 Palace Verdes. On Sunday, the Grade 3 Astra for fillies and mares and 1.5 miles on turf is our main event. And on Monday, fillies and mares go 1 mile on grass in the Grade 3 Megahertz. Monday is also Dollar Day at Santa Anita with $1 beers and sodas. On Fridays, we've got $2 beers and $6 specialty cocktails. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Constitution, head and head, Wildcat Red, Constitution, what a Florida Derby, and Constitution has won!
It will be Carpe Diem rolling through Lexington and headed on for Churchill Downs. He wins it.
But in the Sagamore Racing Pimlico Special is Commissioner.
What a star in the making as Bodie Meister crushes. He wins by 9.
And Daredevil with a sparkling performance here in the Champagne.
They're coming to the line and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
That Stallion montage coming your way from the Windstar Stallions. So many good ones out there. So many memorable moments. As you think back on those performances, Carpe Diem, Constitution, Daredevil, Commissioner, they're classified as the freshman class at Windstar. And can't wait to see their runners out there strutting their stuff and doing their things here before too long. Elliot Walden is going to join us from Windstar coming up here shortly. But we do welcome you back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. And looking forward to catching up with Elliot. We are efforting him as we speak and hopefully have a chance to visit with him for a few minutes. Because that, Jude, that Stallion roster, I mentioned those four names that are the freshman class. But Always Dreaming, the Derby winner, is standing there. You have Bodie Meister, Distorted Humor, who has been successful in this sport for a very, very long time. Exaggerator, Overanalyze, FedBiz. Look, I mean, that's a Stallion roster. Pioneer of the Nile. How do you forget him, right? He's out there. Sire of Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah.
Yeah. You know, my boy More Than Ready's still killing it. Painter's been coming on very strongly. You know, they've got Revolutionary, who's been doing good. He's one of their lesser known stallions, but he's getting some runners. Tourist, what a great looking horse, and a fantastic Breeders' Cup win. There may be never a horse that looked as good as he did on Breeders' Cup Day.
Yeah.
So tis now,
yeah.
Two-time
wins it Breeders, for America.
Breeders' Cup Classic winner, the only two-time Breeders' Cup Classic winner, trained by my friend Jay Robbins. And, yeah, amazing. Windstar Farm, it's right at the top. It's the pinnacle. It's a place when you drive up, your breath is taken away. You drive in, you can barely breathe.
It's beautiful.
I never go there that I don't take at least one photo of something.
It's aesthetically beautiful. It really is.
It's gorgeous.
Last week we had the chance to visit with the folks from Edina Springs in here for this segment and talk about the Edina Stallions. And I brought up the fact that when you drive into Edina Springs, it's a lot like a wonderland. You know, it's a horse racing wonderland. It's just gorgeous. And Windstar Farm the same way. And it hits you when you pull up to that front gate, right? Is that Pisgah Pike? Is that the road that it's on? Mm-hmm. Is that right? And you pull up to the front gate and you just see the pond and the beautiful driveway that leads up to the main office. And it's just, it really is a show place.
Yeah. I mean, just walk in the stallion barn and you go, wow, would I like to live here?
Yeah. Yeah. It just incredible. They are so well taken care of. And Elliot Walden, who is the president and CEO of Windstar Farm, is now with us here for the Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. Elliot, good morning, my friend. Happy to have you on board for a few minutes.
Morning, guys. How are you all doing this morning?
So far, so good.
Things are good. You're fresh off a trip from Australia, from what I understand.
Yep. No time for jet lag. Got a lot going on. So, we had a good trip down under, and horse racing's alive and well down there.
All right, so you campaigned the Triple Crown winner last year. What do you do for an encore here in 2019?
It's a good question. We just keep showing up for work and trying to find the next one. Kenny joked yesterday with David Hanley and myself that he knows the Triple Crown's extremely hard to win and doesn't expect that, but he has another idea, maybe try to win the Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont with three different horses.
That's very good.
I'm glad he's got a sense of humor.
I like that idea.
What's more difficult to accomplish, winning the Triple Crown with one horse or doing it with three different horses?
Yeah, well, I think probably the Triple Crown has been done 13 times. I'm not sure winning it with three different horses has ever been done once. Maybe Calumet did it back in the day. I'm not sure. But we've been fortunate enough to win win the Derby with Super Saver and the Belmont with Drosselmeyer in the same year. But, it would be very difficult today for sure.
It's almost like a Tiger Slam, huh?
It kind of is. Elliot, we started this segment right before you joined us with a little montage of some of the top performances by Windstar Stallions, and I kind of focused on the freshman class with Carpe Diem, Constitution, Daredevil, Commissioner. Talk to us about those stallions and some of the other ones that people want to keep an eye on as we move into 2019.
Well, I think, we're very excited about our freshman class, and with 2019, we're bringing four of them to the forefront, and that's the most that we've ever had in one year, and I think there's just every one of them has a chance to be a top set stallion, and obviously all of them probably won't, but I think there's a case for every single one of them, and Carpe Diem is a horse that was very well received at the yearling crop, and they look athletic. He's by Giants Causeway, and just really excited about his progeny. We actually ended up buying a couple of them, and we have three in training. We've got a really nice Commissioner and a couple very nice Constitutions and a nice Daredevil. So, we're excited about them, and we put our money where our mouth is, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you look at their pictures on your website, and they're outstanding looking horses. I mean, that the website with all the pictures of your standings is like the who's who of the breeding industry. It's really a tribute to you guys that you have such a wide variety and a lot of horses that have been so successful over the years.
Well, we've been blessed in that area, and with Spitestown and Distorted Humor and Tis Now and Pioneer the Nile very fortunate to have very nice stallions, and it really is the linchpin of what we do. I know we had a great year racing last year, but our stallion roster is very important to us, and we're excited with the two new horses that we have this year in Always Dreaming and Good Samaritan. Always Dreaming is a horse that when he was good, he was really good. And his Florida Derby and Kentucky Derby were exceptional. I think people, we've had to remind people how good they were and that he wasn't only just a Kentucky Derby winner, but he did win the Florida Derby extremely impressive, faster than a lot of good stallions which have won that race over the years. It was the fastest time of the race since Alidar. Ran a mile and eighth in 1:47.2. Less than 3/4 of a second off Arrogate's track record. So, the thing about him is he's also out of a very good family, out of a grade one place mare named Above Perfection, and that family can't be getting any hotter. It's got a nice filly in that he's a 3/4 sister to in Positive Spirit that won the filly race Demoiselle at Aqueduct by 10. And she's on her Oaks trail right now, so it's a live pedigree. He has a live pedigree. He was a really good racehorse on his day, and we're really excited about him.
Yeah, anybody that ever saw him train in the morning would realize how much speed he has and how he carried himself. What a classy individual he was. So the big things should come from him. He should get some really nice babies.
Very athletic too, and that's something that breeders have recognized that have seen him is what a beautiful mover he is. And like you said, Jude, you see any of his workouts or you see him move, he's just like a cat, and that usually bodes well for their offspring.
I'm talking with Elliot Walden from Windstar Farm here in the Stallion Spotlight segment. Elliot, just about a minute and a half or so before we have to get to our top of the hour break. But you look at the roster, you see 22 stallions on that Windstar roster this year. Many of those, as a matter of fact, all of them are household names in the sport of thoroughbred racing. They have different price ranges with their stud fees. Do you find that you kind of have something for every breeder at Windstar?
Well, with 22, we hope we do. Most of our stallions are typically by a very good stallion. And so that's important to us to have the bloodlines to back up their race record and their physical performance and physical looks. And so we typically love pedigree as well. So a lot of them are by very good sires, and we hope that carries through our sires at Windstar.
And we'll encourage you to visit their website to read more about each and every stallion. It's windstarfarm.com. Elliot, as always, appreciate the visit here for this segment this morning and really appreciate all the support that you give to us throughout the year. Can't do it without you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Elliot Walden here on HRN, president and CEO of Windstar. And they really do. As you look at that roster, you see the different price ranges. For example, Commissioner standing for $7,500. Then you have Pioneer of the Nile all the way up at $110,000. Of course, after siring Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, it runs the gamut, and you really can't go wrong with any of these stallions because they're all accomplished on the racetrack and they all have really, really good pedigrees.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at the pictures.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean,
they're good.
Pretend you're
too.
Bill Mott. Look at the pictures.
Yeah, they're good looking.
Beautiful horses, all of them.
All right, so coming up second half of the program, we're about a minute away or so from kicking off hour number two. Fausto Gutierrez, who is the trainer of Mexican Triple Crown winner Kukulcan, we'll see him in action next week in the Pegasus World Cup. We'll be there to bring you that coverage, but he'll kick it off for us about 9 o'clock Eastern, so just a minute or so away from his interview. Brendan Walsh will be with us at 9:20, and Frank Hoff, who is the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston, will preview their upcoming meet right around 9:40 Eastern time this morning. If you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out a podcast of this show, all of our programming. It's there for you each and every week, horseracingradio.net. All right, we'll kick off hour number two in just a couple of moments, right after we get set to pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Art winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monoboy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monoboy Girl has won the distance.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum rolling on. Busy morning. Mike Penn and Jude Feld in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Had a chance to visit with Chip Woolley, looking back on that memorable upset by Mind That Bird in the 2009 Kentucky Derby. He was with us to kick things off earlier this morning around 8:15 Eastern time. And then Elliot Walden from Windstar previewing the Windstar Stallions just a couple of minutes ago. Fun first half of the program. Looking forward to the second half here as well, JT.
Yeah, we've got some good guests coming up, and it's been a fun show so far.
Don't forget to follow us on social media, at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and our Equine Forum question of the day for this morning. We want to know, what is your most memorable Kentucky Derby? We gave you a couple examples in the first half of the show of ours and why they stand out to us. We want to hear from you. For whatever reason, what is your most memorable Kentucky Derby? Let us know now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Well, we told you that next Saturday we'll be live from Gulfstream Park to bring you exclusive radio coverage of the Pegasus World Cup. Coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern. It's presented by Red Brand Fence and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. You'll be able to listen throughout North America on Sirius XM 93, and you'll be able to stream us worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And no doubt, we'll have plenty of listeners in Mexico, because the Mexican Triple Crown winner, Kukulcan, will take on the best that we have here in the United States in that Pegasus World Cup. And we're joined now by his trainer, Fausto Gutierrez. He's our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Fausto, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hello, thank you. Good morning, and happy to listen to you and to be here.
Are you in Florida now, or are you in Mexico still?
No, I'm in Mexico City. The horse, this horse, Kukulcan, with Hala Hala, another filly to have good races in the in Gulfstream Park, with two races for this Caribbean Serie. Traveled today, the first hours for this Friday, so in this moment I arrived to Miami, and I'm expected to fly Saturday, tomorrow.
Okay, so he became the 8th Triple Crown winner in the history of Mexican racing last year. Put that in perspective for us. How special was it to win that Triple Crown?
Okay, I think to any Triple Crown have a complication. In Mexico, like you tell now, we have 8 horses to win this area. But this last one, Kukulcan, I think could be one of the best horses to born in Mexico. He win very easy, and it's correct to maybe the competence in our countries. is not tough, and for the situations to where live, the fields are very short. No, he run with 5-6 horses or situations like this. The special in this horse is to he break the track records, and so in my opinion, this is something to tell you to it's a real good horse. No, we have a question mark for the Caribbean Classic. To it's of course, to it's a race for other level in comparison with American horses. It's absolutely different. We have to be honest. But I think to this horse is really, really special, and why not? O sea, we take this Pegasus, no?
Well, he was very impressive winning the Clásico del Caribe. He was basically in a race by himself, and that's what impressed me about him. He just seems effortless when he runs, and he takes the field anytime he wants him. So I know there's been some discrepancies about times and all of that stuff, but he is a special horse, the way he runs, and he certainly acquitted himself very well at Gulfstream Park, and he likes the track too.
Yes, I think in this sport for the race horses, whatever is possible to happen, you know. We have a lot of recent histories for horses to come for Latin American countries like Invasor, Cañonero, and in the same United States, no, Main That Bird, the same California Chrome. So looks a big, big challenge, but I think too, we need to take maybe it's not the most orthodox form to arrive to this strong race, but sometimes you have this chance one time in life. So we decide to take, and whatever to happen, I think too, it's a good experience.
Fausto, after he won the Caribbean Classic on December 8th, you decided to bring him back to your home base in Mexico. And now, as you mentioned, you will fly back to Gulfstream Park for the Pegasus World Cup. Why the decision to go back home and then come back again? Why not just leave him at Gulfstream Park?
Okay, the question have two reasons. The first one and the most simple is to the horse enter to the United States like a Pyro horse. This is really like I think it's a mistake, the exams to first make in Mexico. It's very near to be positive, and the doctors to transport the horses tell if we have the option to enter like positive to the Pyro, we don't have problem, we are separate, and nothing happened, and we have to come back Mexico. No, so this is the reason to the horse for the USDA regulations have to go out of the country. But this is important, I think, because you know, in Mexico, we are in a very, very high level up to the sea, 2,400 meters. And this is a real, real help. When a horse training the altitude and after go down to run in the level for the sea, believe me, too, it's a big, big help, no? You know, because have more oxygen in the blood, no?
Yeah, so interesting
point.
This is the
first time in this Caribbean experience too I have to the horse go with a very short time. So the horse arrived today, he run in 7 days, so I think he have an extra power with this condition. And the horse train here, very, very good.
Yeah, interesting point. Taking him back to Mexico City, the higher elevation, training there, bring him back to sea level at Gulfstream Park. An interesting take from trainer Fausto Gutierrez, who is our special guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Fausto, there are so many people listening throughout the country and around the world that are hearing your voice for the very first time. Tell us a little bit about Fausto Gutierrez. How did you get started? And tell us a little bit about your career.
Okay, I start to train horses. I don't have a real connections in my family with horses like happened with other trainers or other persons to work in this activity. I just have a passion for horses, and I have the chance to to be near the racetrack when I go to the school, and you know, with the time I start to be more near, and when they buy one horse, and you know, this classical, not classical, this kind of history when you like something, and you have the good luck in the life to work in something with your passion is not exactly a work. So like this, I started to train horses like around 25 years ago. I am leader trainer in the Mexico racetrack in the last 6-7 years. I win here more than 2,000 races, like 200 stakes. But this is more or less the weight I have. I was in Texas 2 years, 97, 98, when the racetrack in Mexico closed. In 96, the authorities closed the racetrack and we closed near to 3 years. And so I have an experience there in the United States, and I think this helped me a lot to really learn about this profession.
You've been a trainer for 25 years. You've won 2,000 races. You've got this magnificent horse, Kukulcan. And this might sound like a ridiculous question, but have you ever trained a horse better than him?
No, of course not. This is very special horse. He's a horse to never, in these 40 races before give a real effort, you know? So I think the big question mark is how he responds near to these monster horses, no? If he have this extra power or this heart, this class to run near to these ones.
Yeah, so you think you haven't seen his best race yet?
Yes.
That's cool. That's really great. I hope you can get that performance out of him on Saturday. That would be awesome.
Of course. We have to make a picture. This is to speak with the jockey, Franco De Torio. I tell him, why not? We need. And he tell me, yes, we make another CBS, but don't worry.
that's a neat thing, too, that you were able to get Frankie De Torio to ride the horse. That's a feather in your cap.
Yes, this is a good point, no? Finally, when you make something of this, you need to try to make the best effort, and we contact the Toddy, and for my surprise, he's very, very interesting to ride the horse. And for example, yesterday he called me and told me I'm in the airplane, go to Saudi Arabia to ride Friday today. But I see you the next week, and how train the horse, and you run with Lasix out of Lasix. You know, he's really, really interesting. Like, he have an special feeling, or he want to make something different. No, you know, just ride horses to are the big favorites. Maybe he have a special talent, and I have the perception to he knows something.
That's great.
Fausto, before we let you go, finish this sentence for me. To win the Pegasus World Cup would be?
This is like change the history for the horses, no?
Yeah, it definitely would.
Yeah.
That's great.
How about for you? What would it be for Fausto Gutierrez to win the Pegasus World Cup?
No, this is absolutely a big, big dream, and I don't know. I don't have an answer, because if we have the chance to win this race, I have to wake up for this dream. Because no, it's really, believe me, I don't imagine, really.
Fausto Gutierrez with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Fausto, all the best next Saturday. We'll be there. Hopefully we'll get a chance to say hello. Looking forward to broadcasting that race on the radio, and looking forward to meeting you in person. Safe travels, and safe travels to Kukulcan as well.
Thank you very much for everything.
All right. Fausto Gutierrez here on HRRN, and that Industry Star of the Week segment brought to you by Stuart Morris. Remember, Stuart offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation, and he wants to thank his owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Make sure you stop by the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales. Have to wake up from the dream if he could pull off a victory in the Pegasus World Cup. There are people that are going to say, look, the guy's dreaming that he even has a shot to win this thing. But that's what this game is built on, right? Hopes and dreams. And why not take a shot? You've got an undefeated Triple Crown winner who just romped over that racetrack. Take your best shot. I love it.
Well, this is what this show is based on today. We had Chip Woolley on, right?
Yeah.
And now Fausto Gutierrez. And these are guys that weren't afraid to take on the top competition. They felt like they had a special horse, and you know, more power to him. I think it's great, and you can tell. I mean, he doesn't think this is like totally crazy. He knows that, you know, the horse is going to have to step up. He knows this is the toughest race he's ever been in, but you know, he feels like this horse can do it. And I thought it was interesting that he says we never really got an effort out of this horse. Right?
Yeah.
And when you watch him run, I mean, that's
well,
what
his
I was
win in the Classico was as easy as you're going to get, right?
You couldn't win any easier. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they haven't gotten to the bottom of him.
And it's cool that they go to Frankie Dettori, right? It's neat. It's a neat storyline that Frankie's going to pick up the mount. But Irad Ortiz Jr. rode him in the Classico. That worked out pretty well. And you and I don't like to mess with karma when it comes to those kind of. I think I would have gone right back to Irad again.
Well, maybe Irad had another mount.
He could have.
I would believe he's probably riding for Chad Brown or something.
Yeah, you might be right. You think Chad Brown's going to give him more mounts than Fausto Gutierrez
over
the year?
On a regular basis, yes. But I mean, yeah, riding in one race is one thing, riding in another race is another thing. And but, you know, Fausto said, you know, we're going to make an effort to do this. We want to get the best rider we can. So, and they did. So, and it's nice that Frankie's really, really on board with it. So it's cool. The whole thing is cool, and I wish him the best.
Once again, our coverage next Saturday begins 4 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net, presented by Red Brand Fence and the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. Brendan Walsh is going to join us in just a few minutes after our next commercial break. We will talk about that LeCompte Stakes. He has the likely favorite in there, at least the morning line favorite, with Plus K Parfait. So we'll talk to him coming up momentarily. But time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Here's a good one from our friends at Phasic Tipton. Phasic Tipton continues to move forward in California. The announcement that trainer Mike Machowski would head up Phasic Tipton's California initiative was the next step in North America's oldest sales company's effort to establish itself in the Golden State. A veteran, Machowski is giving up his public stable to join Phasic Tipton in what the company hopes is a lasting endeavor in Southern California. Phasic Tipton conducted sales in California on behalf of the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association, but it has been out of the marketplace there since 1984. Founded in 1898, Phasic Tipton conducts auctions at its Kentucky headquarters as well as in Florida, New York, and Maryland. For more industry news and headlines, all you have to do is head to bloodhorse.com. And don't forget to download the special Blood Horse Best of 2018 tablet-only issue with the top feature stories and photographs of the year. The industry's only weekly magazine and tablet covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years. That's all Blood Horse. And we're back to visit with trainer Brendan Walsh, live from the fairgrounds, next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Gulfstream Park's championship meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday, with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th, a program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Harvey, wall banger alongside of Pluska Parfait to the top of the short stretch, and Harvey is on the move to take the lead coming toward the eighth pole. Harvey, wall banger, narrow lead, trying to kick clear of Pluska Parfait, and then a gap of seven more lengths back to the rest, including Ehrlich, who's fighting on for third with Cutting Humor. Back up front, Pluska Parfait, Harvey Wallbanger down to the line, head-bobbing photo for the win. What a finish. Either Harvey Wallbanger or Pluska Parfait.
All right, well, there you go. Another pronunciation, and we'll tell you this is the correct one because it came from our colleague and our good friend Kurt Becker. Pluska Parfait, that is the official pronunciation for this horse's name, and we're going to be joined by his trainer, Brendan Walsh, coming up in just a couple of minutes. That was a big effort at Keeneland last year, and he is back in action later today in the LeCompte Stakes as the morning line favorite, 9-2 morning line favorite in that Grade 3 race, the first step along the road to the Kentucky Derby on the New Orleans circuit. So we'll see if Pluska Parfait can take that next step, and he is a talented horse. That development, Jude, as you know, from 2 to 3 is significant. These couple of months, horses grow up very quickly, physically and mentally. And we'll get a chance to talk to Brendan in a couple minutes about this horse.
Yeah, he's had a nice career already. 4 starts, 4 times in the money. He broke his maiden 2 starts back at Keeneland and then ran second beaten in neck by the fantastic Signal Man in the Kentucky Jockey Club. So, got a nice resume already.
Well, it's a busy morning for Brendan Walsh, but he's spending a few minutes with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brendan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Pluska Parfait, interesting name, a horse that can really, really run. He showed a lot of ability as a 2-year-old. Take us through the past couple of months. What have they been like for Pluska Parfait?
Well, we backed off of him a little bit after the Jockey Club and just eased back off of him while he had a little time. And, you know, we got him down to the fairgrounds and started him back, and he's been working away since. And everything's been going good. He's developed the way we would have liked him to develop. So, yeah, we're happy with where we're at, and I think he's about ready to make his first start for the year.
What's different about him physically and or mentally than when we last saw him in the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill Downs?
I think he's just done well, guys. You know, he's doing the way horses would do, you know, or what you'd expect. You know, so we're really pleased with that. He's filled out very well physically, and you know, he takes everything in his stride mentally. So, you know, I couldn't be happier with where he's at right now.
Are you a little bit surprised that he's as good of a dirt horse as he is?
No, I mean, he always worked good on the dirt. I mean, we started him on the grass. Just, you know, I mean, I always knew he was a horse wanted to go long, and of course, being by who he's by, it was, you know, it wasn't out of the box to start him on grass. But he always worked good on dirt, and I guess we wanted to just explore the option of him possibly being a dirt 3-year-old for obvious reasons, and he hasn't let us down so far. So I think we'll keep going at it until we've got reason not to. But I think he's... I don't know that he would be a better horse on turf. I think he might be just as good on turf, maybe. But, I mean, he's a pretty nice dirt horse, and we're going to stay where we're at right now.
Yeah, well, it's the right season to be running on the dirt anyway. And he ran into a buzzsaw in his turf race. Henley's Joy's a pretty talented colt, and he ran good to him first time out on the grass. But his dirt races have been excellent. He also handles an off track, which might come in handy. You know, so we'll have to see what the track condition is going to be like this afternoon. But that's a feather in his cap too.
Yeah. No, we might have a wet track. So, listen, guys, he's a very very versatile horse. Full stop. He takes everything in his stride, and you know, hopefully he can take this step in his stride as well, and look forward from there.
Brendan, you've been down this road before, bringing horses, young horses along, trying to get them on the Derby trail, and when you finally get them there, bringing them along that road to Churchill Downs. What have you learned over the years? What's the key to kind of bringing these horses along and nurturing them to kind of get ready for that first Saturday in May?
Well, it's very tough. I mean, I being a European, you compare it to horses that run in the classics in Europe, and they, you know, it might, the 2,000 guineas might be their first start of the year. So you have to put seasoning into horses. There's no doubt about it. As you prepare, I think it's a question of do you try to run them two or three times before a possible Derby, of course. Then you have the thing, if you go with two and you get too close, and for one reason or another you don't pick up points, then you end up having to scramble and all that. So you've got all kinds of circumstances in front of you. So I think things have to really go right, like literally every step of the way to make the Derby. So it's tough like that, but you know, I think you need the luck to be able to have a horse that can do that. And obviously things have to really go your way the whole way from, I mean, we're in middle of January now, you know, there's still another literally 4 months left to go. So nothing can really go a whole lot off kilter between now and then to give yourself the best possible chance in the Derby, I guess.
With that being said, talk about the decision to start Plouquet Parfait in the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes sitting here on January 19th.
Well, we just thought, you know, he's been doing so good. You know, he answered the question, really. We said if he was doing well where we thought we'd get him on the track and run him. Like I said, he's very versatile, so he'll take his races in his stride, and it's nice to have to be able to run this race. At least it gives us a little leeway, depending on how he runs, you know, as far as future options are concerned.
Yeah, it's nice and early in the season. So if you want to take the the three race route. You've got some time. How much hassle is it to worry about the points? Do you have to train the horse to the points, or train the horse and hope the points follow?
Haven't even looked at it, guys, to be honest. I think the first thing we have to do is see how he runs in the LeCompte and go from there. You know, if he proves that he's a serious Derby contender, I guess, you know, then I think that's probably the way a lot of people look at it initially, is get them out there and run them. And if they prove that it's going to be a possibility that they can get there, then you maybe start thinking about points further down the line. But right now, I haven't even really thought about it. You know, I just want to see the horse run well. If he was to win or be placed tomorrow, then you probably have a horse that you can really think about the Derby. And I guess then you have to start taking all that into account. So I'm sure it's tricky, you know.
Trainer Brendan Walsh joining us from the fairgrounds here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Plouqué Parfait set to go in the LeCompte Stakes later this afternoon. Brendan, when you look at his four starts, you see a very versatile horse. He has run well when he's been on the lead and close to the lead. And then the Kentucky Jockey Club, he finds himself at the back of the pack, 11 of 14, puts in that huge late run, comes up just a neck short under Julien Leparoux. What do you think? What's his best running style?
I think in the Jockey Club, we kind of... Julien thought going into the first turn there was a bit of argy bargy, as we'd say, and he kind of he thought he was going to end up going really wide, so he took back, you know, so he ended up being a little further back than ideal. But you know, that's the way races unfold, and it's a split decision, and it was probably the right decision in hindsight. So you know, we ended up coming from far back. His start before that in Keeneland, he was right in the up on the engine the whole way, and that worked too. We're drawn a little wide tomorrow. I guess we'll just have to see how it all goes. You know, we'll just have to. I'm going to leave it up to Julien, really. You know, it's. You know, these races, once the gate opens, the picture of the race changes straight away, and that's why you need somebody like Julien up there to make these decisions. But I don't think the horse needs to be ridden one way or another. I think he's adaptable, and you know, we'll just hope that we get a good trip and go from there.
What was that term you threw out? Argy bargy?
RG, yeah, that's a bit of an Irish term for traffic trouble.
I love it. I'm going to start using that.
RG, yeah.
It won't sound as good coming from me as it does from you, though. I don't have the right accent.
It'll be original, though.
Oh, yeah.
Brendan Walsh here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brendan, I know it's a busy morning for you. We'll let you get to it, but really appreciate the visit and look forward to seeing Plouqué Parfait do his thing coming up in the LeCompte. Good luck, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Brendan Walsh here on HRN. Argy bargy.
Argy
bargy. Have you heard that before? I have never heard that.
Might have heard it from him, actually.
We've had a lot of Irish guys on this program over the years. Yeah. Nobody's ever said argy bargy. I think that's a great horse name.
Yeah, it would be a good horse name. Well, I don't know. Do you want to name a horse after getting in trouble all the time? I don't know. I have to think about that one.
How about the poll question we threw out on the show last week about people's favorite horse names? That was still middle of the week. That was still getting responses, believe it or not, 3 and 4 days after the program aired.
Yeah, well, not everybody's glued to Twitter all the time.
Right, yeah. That's true. So we'll see. Look. He said that this horse doesn't have to be ridden in any special manner. He has plenty of tactical speed. He can come from further back if he runs into some argy-bargy. There are a lot of different aspects to Plouqué Parfait that are kind of in his corner, favorable in his corner. How about some of the other horses to keep an eye on there, JT and the LeCompte?
Well, I thought Royland was an interesting horse. He's by Successful Appeal out of a Congaree mare. He's adding blinkers for this race. He's had a really nice career. He broke his main first time out at Indiana Downs. Came back, ran second in a allowance race, non-winners at two. won an allowance race at Churchill going a mile on the 16th, two turns. Last time out, he ran in the Kentucky Jockey Club, finished fifth, beaten 5 3/4 lengths, but he had a little argy-bargy there, broke slowly, and had to come from way out of it. He was 14th early on and came flying to finish fifth. So Tom Amos trains him. I think that's a good sign. The blinker seemed to have helped him a lot because he was working rather pedestrianly, and then all of a sudden he pops off with a 59-2 January 5th. That was well past his last race, so I'm assuming the blinkers were on for that work. And when a horse works like that, first-time blinkers, it's pretty eye-catching. So I thought he was an interesting horse. War of Will is a horse that Mark Cassie and...
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that horse.
Gary Barber, they've been high on this horse all along. I mean, you can see... He went from finishing third in a maiden race. They ran him into grade one, the summer stakes at Woodbine on the turf. He's been right there every time. He's run in two grade ones and a grade three since finishing third in his maiden race.
Yeah, ran in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
Juvenile turf, yeah.
He finally broke his maiden last time out over a sloppy track at Churchill Downs. He won by five, but he's obviously a nice horse. I think he's interesting. And then Mr. Money... the four for Brett Calhoun. This horse ran against Game Winner and Nick's Go and Signal Man in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He finished fourth. He bobbled at the start and was three wide and still managed a fourth place finish. He's got a good record. He's never been out of the frame, as the Europeans would say. And he's out of a mare named Plenty O'Toole, who was a very talented race mare. And he's by Golden Sense. So he's got a nice pedigree, a good trainer. He can get the distance. So lots of things to like about him.
Yeah, if that horse wins, it blows my whole late pace number theory out of the water, because his late pace numbers are not nearly close to some of the others in here, like War of Will, for example, or Royland that you talked about. They have much better late pace numbers. But, hey, Mr. Money has good early pace numbers, so should be in the thick of things from the start, and has a good jockey in Gabe Saez aboard to work out a trip there too. So... should be a good one. The Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes comes up this afternoon, 6:49 Eastern. That's 5:49 locally in New Orleans at the fairgrounds. We'll get to another break. We'll come back and turn our attention to Houston, Texas. Frank Hoff, the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston, going to be with us to talk about their meet, which begins next weekend. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Eclipse champion Blaine is having a breakout year in 2018. Among the nation's leading sires of stakes horses, his recent top runners include Fault, Moroa, Marley's Freedom, Beyond Blaine, and Miss Kentucky. He's also making a name for himself internationally with French Classic winner Singer. And with yearlings bringing up to $350,000, this three-time Grade 1 winner offers outstanding value. Blaine, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here's Heart to Heart, swung to the center by Leparu to get on track, and Vichy's between horses. Eighth of a mile to go. White Flag appears to be throwing that right out here as Heart to Heart charges to take the lead. Your only man and Dr. Mounty from last. And Dr. Mounty wins and wins going away.
Dr. Mounty tallied his second Grade 3 victory, winning the Tropical Turf Stakes at Gulfstream last weekend. The son of Darley stallion Street Sense earned a 94 buyer speed figure, along with the title of the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense. The first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby is the sire of six Grade 1 winners on dirt in 5 years. Only Bernardini, Tappet, Curlin, and Malibu Moon can top that number. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Jude Feld for Express Bet Radio on HRN every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern as we make our way down the 2019 Kentucky Derby Trail. We'll have live racing from places like Gulfstream Park, Aqueduct, Fairgrounds, Tampa Bay Downs, and Santa Anita, as well as interviews with the top names in thoroughbred racing. That's Express Bet Radio on HRN. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Accelerate. And on the inside, Mendelssohn Thunderstow roaring up between those two as they arrive at the eight pole. Then Yoshida Axelrod, Gunavera's closing in late. It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstow on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire, and Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler. Gunavera was second, and then it was Yoshida and Thunderstow in a final time of 202.93.
The announcer, Larry Colmus, with the call of the Breeders' Cup Classic Accelerate, dominating that race, and we'll see him in action next Saturday as he is the likely favorite in the Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream Park. We'll be there to bring you all that coverage here on the network exclusively on Sirius XM 93 and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Not only is it a big day in South Florida next weekend, but a huge weekend at Sam Houston in Houston, Texas. They kick things off with their meet on Friday, next Friday, January 25th, and then, of course, their big Houston Racing Festival next weekend as well. And to help us figure out some things that you should keep an eye on throughout the meet, we're joined now by Frank Hoff, who is the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston. Frank, welcome, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being with us and looking forward to kicking things off next weekend. That's, you know, it's always such a big weekend because you jump right into things with that Houston Racing Festival, and you're attracting some pretty good horses down there now.
Yeah, we are certainly jumping in, ready to go with opening weekend and highlighted by our big day of racing on the Sunday. We're very excited. Nominations closed a couple days ago, and we're very pleased on the response we got from the horsemen. And you know, the next step is tomorrow's day of entries. So we're certainly looking forward to seeing who is going to be officially coming.
Yeah, that's always exciting, especially when you have such a lineup of good races opening weekend.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, it's we've kind of modified the day and try to build on some of the other races on the undercard that have always done well for us, and try to attract the horsemen to this particular day. So we're certainly looking forward to what we've seen so far.
Well, our good friend and our colleague here on the network, Jeff Bloom and Bloom Racing, expected to send Grade 1 winner Midnight Bisou to Sam Houston for that $300,000 Houston Ladies Classic. And when you attract a name like that, it has to go miles in terms of you being able to promote the race and raising the stature of a race like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, certainly we've heard that she was pointing towards this race, and, certainly there's a little bit of that undercurrent of excitement felt that. And, we look forward to, having her out here and, just continue the level of class of horses we've had running that race. We had Unbridled Forever in 2016 win the race, and she obviously went on and did had a great end of her career. So we hope to continue to build on that and certainly moving in that right direction.
Yeah, it's good that Sunday's your big day too, because a lot of racetracks have gotten away from Sundays in favor of Saturdays. It seems like it goes back and forth which one's in vogue, but But that's good for you guys. You'll have all eyes on your program on Sunday.
Yeah, certainly. When we made that move, you know, it works well because it's the weekend in between the the football championship games and the Super Bowl, and obviously the Pegasus and what they've done the last couple of years. We certainly have relied on those riders to fly over to ride over here in Houston. So obviously moving that would certainly help make the day a little bit better as well. So. And obviously, from a national standpoint, it's a good day to showcase what we have here at Houston. So, certainly looking forward to it. It'd be our third season on this, or third year on Sunday. So, looking for continued growth.
Yeah, and you mentioned the name Forever Unbridled, winner of the Houston Ladies Classic in 2016 for Dallas Stewart. If you don't think that that's been, folks, if you don't think it's been a good race since its inception in 2013, take a look at the trainers that have saddled winners in the Houston Ladies Classic. Last year it was Brad Cox. He had Todd Pletcher the year before, then Dallas Stewart, and Larry Jones has done it a couple of times too. So, Frank, you've been able to attract the big names to Sam Houston year in and year out, and well done. What other races or events are taking place on opening weekend?
So in addition to the Houston Ladies Classic, our longstanding Grade 3 race, the John B. Conley Turf, will be also on Sunday. And obviously that race is, we moved that to a mile and a half a couple years ago, and it just continues to, get some of those distant turf runners that love to come out here and run on our turf course. And, Mike Maker has certainly done very well in that race the last 6-7 years here at Sam Houston Race Park.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk to people about Sam Houston, what do you want them to know about the racetrack and the product down there, Frank?
Well, I think the biggest selling point for us here at Sam Houston is certainly our courses. Our main track is certainly one of the safer main dirt tracks out there. And obviously our turf course is, I would put it up against any track in the country, how well that surface holds water and how safe it is. And just, even by appearances, how nice it looks on the TV screen. But, the main thing is that both our surfaces are very safe. Our track record, we take a lot of pride in. We work hard on, the safety of the horses and the riders. And, that's the biggest selling point that we can certainly offer. And, the weather's a little bit nicer in the wintertime than some locations, so. If you like the big city and some nicer winter weather, it's a great place to come down and come run for a few months.
A lot of people don't realize that it is important how your facility looks on the television screen in order to attract fans and more importantly, horsemen to your facility. When people see it on television, they realize it's a beautiful, clean, classy place. They want to go there, and that's something that a lot of times people forget.
Yes, that's true. And and in my role, I oversee the facility and the track as well. So I take a lot of pride trying to keep the place looking nice and updated, and and with for the horsemen, the barn area is especially important. Keeping upgrades over there, and it's important for everyone to come here and have a good, clean, updated facility. So, we take a lot of pride working on that and trying to keep that available for everybody.
Frank Hoff, the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston, with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, opening day next Friday. Next Sunday is their big Houston Ladies Classic, and the John B. Connolly, as he mentioned, their Houston Racing Festival on Sunday, January 27th. Frank, any special wagers tied to that day or to opening weekend in any way?
Yeah, we are offering a new wager this year at Sam Houston Race Park. It will be called the Space City Pick 6. So it's a unique wager, pretty familiar around the country now at other locations. So it will be a jackpot wager. It will be at our popular 12% takeout. 20-cent minimum. And one little caveat to our particular wager, it's a 75% payout and a 25% carryover. So if there's not one unique winner out there, 75% of the net pool will be paid out to the customers out there. So a little bit more of a handicappers popular, you know, in their favor to get a little more payout and a little less to the carryover. But, you know, hopefully, you know, that gets some traction and, you know, the carryover can grow and become as popular as it has at some other locations.
Yeah, it's a great concept.
We'll introduce that on Friday.
Yeah, great concept. Looking forward to the inception of that wager and looking forward to the entire meet and, of course, opening weekend next weekend. Frank, really appreciate the visit. We're going to get a chance to catch up just about once a month throughout the meet, so we'll get an update on everything that's happening and look ahead to so many big events coming up.
Well, I certainly appreciate the time, guys, and we look forward to our partnership this season, and we'll be in chat soon.
All right, appreciate it, Frank. Frank Hoff, the Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston here on HRRN. One more break to get to, but before we do that, it is time to hear from our friends at Four Roses Bourbon. Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Today I have the privilege of visiting once again with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director with Four Roses. Brent, when we say master distiller, what does that term mean?
You know, that's a term that it's evolved a little bit in the last couple years. You know, historically, it was really just fundamentally the person running still, you know, running the distillery day in and day out. And today it means a lot of different things. Like in my particular role, I deal a lot on, probably more so on the back end of what's being produced, you know, choosing barrels, selecting batches, of course, looking at the quality from beginning to end. But a lot of the focus is deciding what goes into the bottle, making sure that what goes into the bottle, whether it's the Four Roses bourbon, small batch, or single barrel, is the correct batches. The batches are the right quality, the right proportions. It's consistent. It's about the quality of what's in the bottle. And something else, when I say it's really changed in the last few years, you know, with the resurgence or the popularity of bourbon now, a lot of people want to know about bourbon. So as brands, we want to represent our brand in the best way that we can, and that's how master distillers are being utilized now. So I spend a lot of my time talking to the public, traveling, entertaining guests, doing seminars, dinners, and just anything you can imagine just to help almost be more of an ambassador.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere where you were quoted as saying that you can be somewhat reserved until it comes to talking about bourbon and telling people about Four Roses.
Yes.
How come?
Well, my background's chemistry. I've always been a science person. I always kind of figured I'd be stuck somewhere doing my own thing. But, you know, I think by my nature is more introverted than extroverted for sure. So I would have probably cringed and not believed you if you'd told me 20 years ago that part of my job would be every fourth week I'd be out, you know, traveling, talking to groups of 50, 100, 200 people. I wouldn't have believed you in the first place. Then it would have ruined my day. I just couldn't imagine doing something like that. And I probably still couldn't if you said you're going to go out and let's go talk about anything other than bourbon. I couldn't do it. But you know, something that I'm passionate about, that I know about, that I love to share with people, and it's just amazing how much people want to learn about it. So it's just like you plug in, you get out, and you start talking to people, and the questions start flowing, and automatically, you know, I want to answer the questions. I want to talk about the brand, the product, the industry. And I guess what it comes down to is when you love what you do, it becomes fun, and it's not really a job anymore.
So what are some of the things that you want people to know about Four Roses when you do go out and talk with them?
I always try to impress the, you know, our uniqueness, which we've talked about. I like to talk about the history. I'm not the brand historian, but, you know, even in my 12 and a half, 13 years here with the company, we've seen a lot of change. And I like to talk about that. You know, the growth in the U.S. has been phenomenal. When I started in 2005, we were just doing, you know, a few thousand cases in one or two states. And within a few years, we were expanded to all 50 states. Let me back up. When I started, if you looked at Four Roses sales globally, we've always been not the biggest company. We've been one of the major distilleries, but you wouldn't know it here in the U.S. because we haven't really had a presence as a bourbon. But if you go, even today, if you go to Europe or Japan, we're one of the top selling bourbons. We're on all the back bars. We're everywhere. So when I started, the U.S. market was at the very bottom of the list as far as sales volume. You had Japan, you had France, you had Spain, the rest of Europe. And way down at the bottom was the U.S. That was 05. In 2015, the U.S. market overtook the Japanese market in sales, which 15 years ago, that would have been unheard of.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And then the following year, we overtook all of Europe combined. So just in the brief history from when I've been here, you know, it's just been remarkable. The growth, both internally, when I started, we didn't have a sales and marketing department. We had one person who did all of that. We didn't have an HR department. We had one person that basically took care of payroll. We had the master distiller. We had a distillery manager. We had me. It was like a skeleton crew. We really had, because we had no sales in the U.S.
Yeah, what a difference 13 years makes.
I know it. Yeah, we have departments. Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
You know, we're a real company. It's really been exciting just to see how far we've come in a short period of time.
Brent Elliott, he is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. You can learn more by visiting fourrosesbourbon.com. And we are back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum right after this. It's all here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Power. Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Graded Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
You know, our Jimmy John's new 9-grain wheat sub has the perfect amount of grains.
Freak, yeah, it does. Any less, it'd be grain lacking. Any more, it'd be obnoxious.
9 grains. It's just so confident. I mean, it says I'm high quality, I'm substantial, I'm flavorful, but I don't have to prove myself to anyone.
This 9-grain wheat sub is practically an inspirational poster.
I want to possess the character and depth of this 9-grain wheat sub.
You guys talking about being that 9-grain wheat sub again?
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. Our thanks to all of our guests who took the time to be with us this morning. If you missed it, fun interview with Chip Woolley in the beginning of the program this morning, looking back on that 2009 Kentucky Derby upset by his Mind That Bird. Elliot Walden was with us in the first half of the program to preview the Windstar Stallions. Fausto Gutierrez, the trainer of Mexican Triple Crown winner Kukulcan at 9 Eastern. Brendan Walsh was with us, and Frank Hoff Sr. Frank, I keep doing that. Senior Director of Racing Operations at Sam Houston. He's not Frank Hoff Sr. He's Frank Hoff. And he was with us just a few minutes ago. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was a good show. Yeah. A lot of interesting things
we do discussed. Say so ourselves.
Always do.
Back to Gulfstream Park next weekend. Our coverage of the Pegasus World Cup comes your way. 4 o'clock Eastern Time, SiriusXM 93. And, of course, you can always stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And this program will be live from Gulfstream Park as well. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, and for Sean C. Chauncey, handling our social media, I'm Mike Penn, and we'll talk to you next week on HRN.
Good night, Barbados.